In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is the temptation of the Lord on the mountain, and it's called Temptation Sunday. You know, in Lent, every Sunday of Lent, there is a Gospel specific for that week of Lent. And Lent becomes like a journey with these Gospels, that it takes us on a spiritual journey throughout Lent. Does anyone remember what the first week's Gospel was about, last week's? Sorry? Having treasures in heaven. So we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And this is like a decision that we're making in the beginning of this spiritual journey, in the beginning of this time of fasting and time of spiritual revival. We decide that we will lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We'll forget about this world, and any interest, any passion, any time we'll invest into our treasure, which will be in heaven. As soon as this happens, as soon as you make this commitment in your life, for sure Satan will be quite disturbed and will come to tempt you. And this is exactly what the church offers us on the second Sunday, that after we've made this decision to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, we can quite confidently expect that Satan will come and try to snatch that away from us. And so the church offers us this gospel reading of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. St. Isaac the Syrian has a nice saying. He says, "The nearer you join and progress to the kingdom of God, the more temptations multiply against you." And this is always what Satan will do. Once you make a decision, he'll try to snatch it away. Once you make a commitment, he'll try to cool you down. And so we need to be on guard very early in our period of fasting, that we continue on this journey. Satan, as you know, tempts our Lord Jesus Christ with three temptations. The temptations are all different in terms of that he's offering him a different sin each time. But there is one underlying temptation that he's presenting to Jesus, and that underlying temptation in all of the three of them is the underlying temptation in all temptations that he offers to us. That temptation is the way Satan fell himself, and what he knows best, which is pride. All the temptations he offered to Jesus had an underlying temptation of vainglory. And we'll look at through each of them now. The first one, he says to Christ, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." So although the temptation is to do with food and breaking his fast, Satan begins to say to him, if you are the Son of God, prove yourself. Show me your glory. If you are the Son of God, show yourself. Change these stones and make them into bread. You're the Son of God, aren't you? And so he attacks our Lord Jesus Christ with a temptation of glory, of vainglory. And Satan uses this exact method with us. And he uses the exact method back in the time of Adam and Eve. That when he came to tempt Adam and Eve, what did the serpent say? "For God knows that in the day you eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So beyond the temptation of eating something, some sort of fruit from a tree, he offered him the temptation that you'll become like God. The temptation of pride, the temptation of vainglory, to be something that we're not. And as we all know, in Proverbs it says, "Pride comes before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Before any sin we commit, Satan will offer us the sin of pride, the sin of vainglory, to puff us up. And then comes the fall. Often in life, we get this temptation, or we get this feeling that, what am I? Am I something? You know, Satan will come to you and say, "You're such a smart guy. You know more than all these people. These people are all sinners. You're a engineer. You're a specialist. You know, you're something different. If you are this kind of person, then do this. You're very wealthy. You have a status. If you are this kind of person, then you can do whatever you like." And this temptation, "if you are," Satan attacks us with very often. Even in the service, that if we are doing some good service, Satan will say, "Look at you. Look who you are. Look who you are. Look what you're doing." One time, Amber Antonio Smoros from Africa came to Sydney and was giving a talk about his services that he's done in Africa. And he spent 1 hour talking about all the accomplishments he's done in Africa. And one of the youth got up after this talk and put up his hand and said, Sayyidina, how could you speak for 1 hour about everything you've done and not have the feeling of pride? And the bishop looked at him very, very confused. And he said to him, why would I feel any pride? God is the one that works. I'm just in his hand. I'm just a tool in his hand working. The temptation that he accomplished something, that he is something, didn't affect him because he knows the Lord is the one that is working. The Lord is just using him as a tool. Pope Carolus, you know, Pope Carolus used to receive a lot of letters. And some letters used to praise him a lot, and some letters used to accuse him of things. And so what Pope Carolus used to do with all these letters, any letters that would praise him, he would chuck in the bin. Any letters that would be abusive to him, he would put them on his desk and write on top of it, you deserve this, Carolus. And that is the feeling that we are nothing. Anything that when Satan comes and says to us, you are, you have done, we put that away and we know that before the Lord we are nothing. And anything that's good in us is coming from God and from his hand only. The second temptation, Satan says to the Lord, again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He shall give his angels charge over you. You know that this temptation becomes a bit more serious because he's actually using the words of the scripture to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple and show yourself, show your glory. You know, Christ is coming as a king. Imagine Christ, rather than coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, that Christ comes gliding down from the roof of the temple on the angel's wings. What an entrance. You know, show your glory. Glide down on angel's wings and people will see your glory. Again, the temptation is to do with glory and vainglory, that show yourself, show who you are, show your glory. Satan uses a verse from Scripture from Psalm 91 that he shall give his angels charge over you. But what Satan didn't realize, or he probably did but ignored it, is right after that verse that Satan quoted, it says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the serpent you shall tread underfoot. So Satan even used a passage from Scripture that prophesies of how our Lord Jesus Christ will step on him. But in any case, people would see his glory if he had done that. If he had jumped off, people would have seen his glory. But our Christ is not interested in this kind of entrance, in this kind of vainglory. He's coming to serve his people. And you know, there's a nice story from St. Francis of Assisi. He's a Catholic saint. And one of his disciples one time was giving a lot of talks, and people liked his talks. And so they came to him saying, man, you give such really good talks. And so he started feeling the feeling of pride. So he went to his master, St. Francis of Assisi, and said to him, they keep saying that I give good talks. You know, what should I do? And St. Francis said to him, all right, no worries. What you do, take off all your clothes and run around in the city. And so he did it. He took off all his clothes and he ran around naked in the city. So everyone said, this man's crazy. This man's Magnoon. What's he doing? So no, he shifted all the glory that he's getting off his good talks to people saying this man is crazy. And this is what the saints do, that they don't want any glory for themselves. Any glory that comes, they're not interested in it and will do anything to push it away from themselves. The new Pope of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, I admire him very much. He's such a humble, simple man. And they've been saying stories about him that during his time as a bishop in Argentina, he didn't live in the bishop's palace, but he lived in a small unit. He didn't have a chef. He cooked his own meals. He didn't have a chauffeur, driver. He caught the bus to the church. So a very simple style of living. And even now as a pope, there have been pictures and videos of him kissing feet of patients, of cancer patients and so on. So he's coming with such a simple approach. The Pope of Rome, with such a prestigious, honourable, powerful position, he's trampled on all of that and is coming for the true message of the gospel, which is to preach, to serve the people and to wash their feet. Not interested in the glory that Satan will offer. Show your glory. You are the Pope of Rome. Show your glory, just as he did to Christ. The third temptation again, underlying of pride, Satan says to him, all these things I'll give to you, all these kingdoms I'll give to you, all you need to do is just to bow down to me, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Again, offering Christ the temptation of pride and power, that he will rule over all these kingdoms. You're coming to establish a kingdom, I'll give you all of the kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. Take the easy way out. And this is something Satan will always offer us. That if you follow me, if you follow Satan, you'll have the easy way out. You'll have power. For example, if you lie, you'll get ahead. If you cheat, you'll get ahead. If you backstab that person at work, then you'll get the promotion before him. If you steal, if you be dishonest, if you fight for your dignity, these are all things Satan will offer you. Come follow me and you'll have power. You'll have dignity. You'll have wealth. But come take the dishonest way. Come take that route and I'll give you power. And this is again something that Satan always tempts us with. But the opposite is very much true. When we turn our back on Satan and we follow Christ, Christ gives us all the glory, all the joy and everything we need, all the riches when we follow Christ and not Satan. There's a nice story that Uncle Magdi told me one time. Uncle Magdi was a young youth and he used to go to the monasteries a lot. And he went to the Sorian monastery one time, and back then there wasn't very good roads. And so you'd have to walk quite a long distance to get to the monastery. And so by the time you reach the monastery, you're exhausted and you're all dirty from the dust and your feet are broken up and dusty. And as he entered the monastery, there was a nice monk that opened the door for them and said to them, you know, welcome, come in. Just sit down here so I can get a basin of water so I can wash your feet. And Uncle Magdi said, no, you can't wash my feet. There's no way. And he said, no, just sit down and I'm going to wash your feet. He says, no, you're not washing my feet. And the monk told him, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can go home. You're not staying here. So Uncle Magdi wanted to stay in the monastery. So he said, all right, wash my feet. So the monk came and washed the feet of Uncle Magdi and the person that he was with. And do you know who this person was? It was Pope Shenouda. Before he was a bishop, he was just a monk and he was washing the feet of these people. So when we turn our back on the glories of this world, we turn our back on the pride of this world, we wash the feet of people, we know our place at the feet of people, then Christ gives us the glory. Christ will lift us up, and you see what was to happen with the life of Pope Shenouda. I've been reading a bit from St. Isaac the Syrian, and he is so deep in the concept of humility. And I'll just leave you with one passage that he wrote that I feel summarizes this whole concept. He says, the man who hungers and thirsts for God's sake, God will make him drunk with the wine whose intoxication never passes from those who drink it. And he who goes naked for God's sake is clad by him in a robe of incorruption and glory. And he who becomes poor for his sake is consoled with his true riches. And glory be to God forever. Amen.